Welcome to Susitna Writer's Voice, area writers reading their work. Greetings, welcome to the end of February and another edition of Stardate Susitna. I'm Kathleen Fleming. In this program, I'll talk about some full moon names and the occultation of Regulus coming up Wednesday evening. I hope you'll hear something of interest to you. I had fun researching the show and rather wish I'd spent more time digging into it. Well, let's see what the night sky has in store for us this week, beginning with the moon. Actually, La Luna is the lead character in most of this week's drama. First quarter was last Thursday night, so this week begins with a waxing gibbous, providing excellent ambient light in the evening hours for whatever outdoor activities you have in mind. Try not using artificial light while skiing or snowshoeing or walking the pack trails. It's marvelous how much more you can see when not focused on the narrow reach of a headlamp. And the evenings before the moon is full are perfect for that. Yes, yes, the full moon is brighter, but it's not as high in the sky during the after-dinner hours. Even if the sky is cloudy, but the clouds aren't too thick, the terrain will light up with moonlight during the moon's waxing gibbous phase. What this week's big moon will not be good for is aurora watching and finding fainter stellar objects. The natural light pollution of a big moon drives us to other delights. La Luna is officially full on Thursday afternoon, March 1st. If your calendar says it's on Friday the 2nd, then your calendar is using Universal Time, aka Greenwich Mean Time. And all the science-y astro info is given in UT, Universal Time. Unless it's being published for the general U.S. public, then it's usually listed for the Eastern time zones. I suspect the vast majority of calendars printed in the U.S. say that the next full moon is on the 1st. Well, I don't have to tell you that full moons are special, grand, important, inspiring, and beautiful. Try to imagine how significant they were before artificial lights were ubiquitous. Need to travel at night? You need moonlight. Afraid of the dark? Feel safer with a full moon. Got work to do beyond the daylight hours? Bright moon makes that possible. Cultures around the world have elaborate stories about why the moon waxes and wanes, where it goes when no moon is visible at all around the time we call new moon. They saw figures in the face of the moon, a rabbit, a man, an old woman, and most gave special names to the full moons that reflected what was happening at the time regarding the plants and animals or the weather or their families. This is what I wished I'd given myself more time to dig into. There are lots of sites that list the most common names of the full moons, with mention of less common names. These lists are pretty much all the same, like no one has dug any deeper than to repeat someone else's list. I'd love to find some closer to original source material and more detailed explanation for the common and less common full moon names. If you hear one name for a full moon, most likely it's attributed simply to Native Americans. Obviously, there are many, many different tribes in very different climate regions. And if naming full moons is the common practice it seems to be, there should be scores of names for each. I think the common ones in use have Algonquin origins from the northeast of what is now the United States. Starting with January, the wolf moon for the hungry wolves roaming the snowy landscape in search of food. Apparently, the early Europeans also gave January's full moon the name wolf moon. Other names listed are the old moon and the ice moon. I did find an Alaskan teaching guide about the moon from a Tlingit perspective. So this is Southeast Alaska, where the winters are milder and coastal animal life is, of course, different from here. The Tlingit name for the January full moon is the goose moon. I'm not even going to try to pronounce the Tlingit words. Okay, I'll try. Ta-awak-dis. Well, sorry about that. I know that's way off. So now we're in February, which has no full moon since January and March both have two. So we could think of the second moon of last month or the first moon of next month as deserving the February full moon name. The most common one is the snow moon. We can certainly agree with that, but the Navajo of Arizona, well, they might have a different idea. Other names on the list include the storm or hunger moon. In the Tlingit tradition, this one is the black bear moon. One more. March is getting two full moons since the first one is on the 1st, and a lunar cycle is 29 and a half days long, and March has 31 days, so we'll be calling the full moon on the 31st a blue moon, simply because the new custom is to call the second full moon in a calendar month blue. But older traditions have the March full moon as the worm moon, as newly revealed and thawed soil may have worms moving through it. I won't go into the natural history of earthworms in America, though that is an interesting story. Other names listed for the March full moon are the chaste, death, crust, and sap moon. Peoples of coastal Southeast Alaska called, or maybe still call, the full moon of March underwater plants sprout moon. And I'll certainly run out of time if I continue through all the months in this one show. I'll keep these pages handy and do all the summer months in April. Well, now let's look ahead to an astronomical event that Alaskans will be among the few able to witness, the occultation of Regulus. It will take clear skies, or at least a break in the clouds, early Wednesday evening in the eastern sky, the direction of Leo the Lion. To explain, the moon moves through the background of stars very near the ecliptic, the path of the sun through the zodiac constellations. But the moon's orbit around the Earth is inclined about 5 degrees relative to the orbit of the Earth around the sun. The result is that La Luna can be, and is, up to 5 degrees above and below the ecliptic every month. The phase the moon is in and the constellation it is in when it is above and below the ecliptic, well, that changes. It is a really very dynamic. One result of this dynamic is that for several months out of each decade, and I'm being really general about this, the moon will pass directly in front of a specific star called an occultation. This week, for Alaskans, the nearly full moon will pass in front of Leo's brightest star, Regulus. It's been doing this for several months already and will continue for a couple more passes. But then, after April, the moon will appear far enough above the star that no place on Earth will get an occultation of Regulus. Until La Luna starts to fall back to a path closer to the ecliptic there below the Lion. Well, if I lost you in all that, come back now, because I'll tell you what to look for and when. The moon is full Thursday, so Wednesday evening it will appear essentially full. Sunset on the 28th is at 6:21. Civil twilight ends at 7:06, and the occultation occurs at 7:39 p.m. in Anchorage. That could be a minute or more off for the Upper Susitna Valley. The sky won't be really dark yet, just nautical twilight, but the moon will be completely obvious, fairly high in the east. Use your binoculars, otherwise you won't be able to see Regulus. They're just barely to the lower left of the moon. I'll start looking no later than 7:30 Wednesday evening. See the star and the moon's left edge very close and getting closer. The thing I'm most excited about in viewing this particular occultation is that although the moon looks perfectly full, it is not. There is a sliver of unilluminated surface on the left or leading edge. La Luna is slowly moving left, eastward, and the star will blink out just before the illuminated portion reaches it, thus proving that, though it looks full that night, it is not. The bright star will be behind the lower half of the moon for about half an hour. The reappearance, when Regulus suddenly pops out from behind the bright lower right edge, is scheduled for 8:05 in Anchorage. I'm not certain how to read the event map and adjust for Talkeetna, so I'll be staring nonstop for the reappearance starting no later than 8:03. Checking the time on my smartphone, which seems to be more accurate than any of the other clocks in my house. Well, if you are intrigued and want to know more and have internet access, I have created a page of information about this occultation of Regulus and the next one that's in the morning of March 28th, 3 days before full moon. Find the page when you go to ktna.org, click on Stardate Sitna for 2/25/18, which will probably be on the homepage all this week after it's been posted on Monday. Next week, I'll be back to tell you about seeing all five naked eye planets, Jupiter, Mars, and Saturn in the mornings, and soon we'll be able to see Venus and perhaps Mercury in the post-sunset sky. Remember to train your binos on the moon Wednesday evening at 7:30. See if you can spot Regulus so close and then gone behind the moon's lower left edge. The reappearance is half an hour later. Start watching for the return of Regulus at about 8 o'clock. The drama would be better if La Luna wasn't so full. Still, it's an event worth watching. Have a great week and keep looking up.
You've been listening to Writer's Voice, a production of Talkeetna Community Radio. You can listen to this recording again at ktna.org. New contributors are always welcome.